T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Men are idiots, and idiots do stupid things.
Howard Simon.
Oh, what a loser!
Jeremy White.
He's an idiot. Don't listen to this. He's an idiot.
On WGR.
I really didn't think you could lower the bar at your station.
Sports Radio 550.
Hey, we're always up for a good challenge, which includes lowering the bar. Let's see.
Push-up challenge? You doing any challenges at home? You should start doing a push-up challenge.
I can have a challenge on how much ice cream I can eat in one sitting. I don't know, or how many consecutive days I could have ice cream. Hey, I saw on the news yesterday, you know, one of the ways you can handle all, reduce your stress, and one of the things they're suggesting, comfort food. Eat your comfort foods. You got to do something nice, make yourself happy, right? Comfort food. So I believe that is them signing off on me picking out on desserts. I finished the chocolate bar you sent me, by the way, in your last package.
That would be the last one, by the way.
It was good.
It was only 3 months worth of trying new foods.
I think
for
we're
Christmas
having
for you.
I think we're having the pasta tonight. You sent us some pasta. So
very good.
Thanks, man. All right, like I said, I ate the whole chocolate bar. 803-0550 to join us in a moment. We'll talk NFL draft. And then if you'd like, so I brought in the ESPN All Sports Trivia Cards, the trivia challenge, the game, and I think it's 2005 based on some of the questions I was looking at. We can run through some football questions for you. I already have found like 5 questions in. I already found one that is outdated, and the record has changed since they actually published the game. So if you want to have a little fun with that, we could do that. I got some other stuff here we'll get to. But let's do some NFL draft talk. Draft is still going on. And we are going to the Western Hotline. We're going to be joined by Chris Landry, who was a scout in the NFL for over 30 years. His site is LandryFootball.com. On Twitter, you can follow him at LandryFootball, and he's joining us right now. Chris, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well, and all the great folks of Buffalo and Western New York doing well in this tough time.
We are.
Yes, the draft is scheduled and grinding away, and in unusual circumstances. It's been unusual lead up to it. It's not the pro days and. No, so we're working through it. Listen, as I always tell my counterparts, I do consulting work for teams in the league, and you know we tend to get in a little bit of a bubble, and they're saying, "Man, we can't do that." And I'm like, "Look, compared to what the rest of society is dealing with, this is high level problems. We should be so fortunate that others are not as fortunate." But yeah, so we're ready to go about a month from now, at least. Unless anything changes.
From a big picture standpoint, we'll get to you about the Bills and positions of need, and that's, of course, without a first-round pick now. But from a big picture standpoint, as you look at the overall class of 2020, is there a theme or is there anything that stands out to you from a general standpoint looking at the overall draft this year?
Well, I think it's got an inordinate amount of what I would call elite-level receivers that can be difference-makers. I think it's got, I think some quarterbacks at the top that can really help you. Not as deep at tight end, not as deep at safety, but they've got, I think, some impact guys on the defensive line. I think most drafts are, every draft has its personality, but they're good players in every draft. The key is to be able to, and it's my pet peeve, and over at Landry Football, we're putting out our draft boards now, and we have it like a real NFL draft board, to where you have to grade to a standard. So you know, there's this assumption that, you know, everything's about, people think it's mock drafts and this guy and that guy. It's really about how does the guy grade. You've got to grade him correctly before you stack him. And I think there's, like any other draft, there's some really impactful players. And if you do a good job of filling in some needs, then you can go into the draft and get better chances of hitting on impact players, regardless of need. Think about this. Even your needs are not going to be consistent over time, because if you're really good at one position, you draft well and develop, what's going to happen? You're going to lose some of these guys because you can't pay them all. So your needs are constantly going to be there under the surface pretty close. So don't think, well, we're set there. You never have enough pass rushers, enough impact defensive guys. You never have enough cover guys. You've got to be smart. And I think you have to do that, even with a team like the Bills that don't have a first-round pick.
Yep.
But you've got in the second round, there's going to be a really good player. I've got at this point, and I'll be unveiling it, 21 first-round grades, and we'll have about 50 second-round grades. And that's important to understand. You don't have 32 first-round grades. You know, you've got 32 players that are going in the first round, but you typically have anywhere from 18 to 24 first-round grades. So, and they're going to vary from team to team a little bit, but there's going to be a really good player into the third round, maybe top of the fourth, with a second-round grade, and being able to identify that and being able to go get that guy without saying, oh, we got to take a fill-in-the-blank, you know, type of guy. You know, I can remember this, and I don't know why this name comes to me, but you guys remember several years ago, you know, the Bills took Justin McCargo in the first round? You guys remember
John
that?
McCargo. John McCargo. Yeah, traded up. McCargo. Yeah, they traded up together.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most of us, I mean, it was a need picking up. It was like a third-round value guy, but need, you take it. And, you know, guy played in the league, but you pass over better players. Anyway, I don't mean to go on and on, but I think that's the real key in the draft is being able to identify. And, you know, I think that Sean and Brandon are doing a really good job of assessing the needs and kind of plugging them in. That's what free agency is about, not about big signings, but plugging in needs so that then you can then go and attack the draft with getting the best players, the cleanest players that can come in and impact you, even if it's not the biggest area of need, because your biggest area of need this year is going to change next year because of just the cycle of players coming and going.
You had mentioned elite receivers. Let me ask you about that position. This can tie into the Bills, and you were talking about your board and grades and all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's an area where they get digs, and we were talking about how you can still go get a good young receiver to bring in here. So how deep is the receiver class? Let's say the Bills want to address it in round two, or maybe they want to rate to three or four. How deep were your grades in terms of finding a receiver who can be on the Bills roster in 2020 if it's not a first-round pick, because it can't be now?
Well, so great guys in the, you know, immediate starters. I think there are like four guys that fit that category. Now, whether a player starts or not will depend on where he goes. I get that. But immediate starters can line up, play for anybody in the league. If you've got three superstar receivers, then maybe he doesn't crack the lineup, but good enough. Mm-hmm. The Jerry Judys, the C.D. Lamb, the Henry Ruggs, the Justin Jeffersons, they're off the board unless the Bills move up. But when you start looking at what I would call potential starters that can be put really good next level, and there are two different categories, the 6'4 to 6'0s, there's seven guys that fit in that category. I mean, you got a T. Higgins of Clemson, a Brandon Ayuk of Arizona State. That's a slot. And remember, they're not all wide receivers. Some of them are slots. Mm-hmm. Yep. A Laviska Shenault, who has some medical issues, just has had durability issues at Colorado, but is probably a top 15, 18 overall player in this draft if he could have been more consistent on the field availability. So, and he can play the X, the Z, or the slot. Denzel Mims is an outstanding player that can be really good at the next level. A KJ Hamler that can be a really good slot guy. And, you know, seeing the guys that are just super quick and, you know, do some Tyreek Hill type things excite people. Then you've got a guy like a Jalen Reagor of TCU that's just outstanding. Van Jefferson of Florida, who's had to get a foot injury situation repaired, but really good. And then you go into the third round. I'll go further. A Tyler Johnson, who's one of the best route runners in this draft. A Michael Pittman of USC. A KJ Hill of Ohio State. A Chase Claypool, who you know may even go higher. An Antonio Gibson of Memphis. Guys like that that going into the third round that could come in and eventually be starters. So I think there's a really good opportunity where they are to get a good one. But then here's the thing. What if one of those guys, what if they've got a first-round pick on a Higgins or somebody like that? You know, would they give up something to go up six or eight spots, right, for example, to get a guy that they've got maybe 15th or 18th on their board? You could do that. You never know how that's going to fall, and that's why you don't make those moves until you're on the clock and the draft has taken place.
Chris Landry with us, by the way, LandryFootball.com with us here on our Western Hotline. You had mentioned, you know, you never get enough pass rushers, you never have enough cover guys. So again, we're going to assume the Bills stay at 54. They don't move for purposes of discussion. In those areas, let's start with pass rusher, or if you think cover corner, whichever you, what kind of level of talent is available at 54 if the Bills want to address one of those two key areas?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm a little curious if a Terrell Lewis, I don't think Terrell Lewis of Alabama will be there, but a Curtis Weaver of Boise State, a Julian Okwara of Notre Dame, all edge guys that I think would be really good value there. A Josh Uche of Michigan would be good value. Someone that may slip a little bit, super productive in college, got a pretty low ceiling, but is going to be a good player, Bradley and I of Utah, that's got really good pass rush skills. In terms of the ability to cover, I would suspect that Jeff Gladney of TCU is going to be gone. Damon Arnett is a really good player. I think somebody like a Kyle Duggar from Lenoir Rhyne, an underrated guy, he's more of a safety guy, but like Antoine Winfield a lot. You guys will remember his dad. But Antoine is really, really good in a starting slot cover guy, little undersized. But, you know, I think Bryce Hall of Virginia is another corner. Ashton Davis is a physical hitter. Cameron Dantzler of Mississippi State. You know, I think all those guys represent good value. Iguanishi of Auburn is a guy that can really run but is very raw. Those are guys that would all be candidates that would represent, you know, pretty decent value if they were to stay at that spot.
You're on a talk show in Buffalo, but I'll close with a Patriots question, actually, if you don't mind, Chris. So, you know, we're of course, they're of great interest here and what they're doing to quarterback and whether or not could they take quarterback at 23. Let's say they want to do that. Who's on the board in terms of how you look at the quarterback group, and anybody we should like be afraid of the Patriots taking at quarterback?
Well, full disclosure, I've you know worked with Bill Belichick in Cleveland and done a lot of stuff with him, you know, in the New England days. He's got a plan, and he probably likes one of these guys. Who, when, where? We'll see. I think in terms of where they're picking, if they stay there. You know, Jordan Love is probably off the board, but that's the one guy. I think it's a little bit of a reach for a Jacob Eason of Washington, who's a developmental guy. I don't know that any of those guys would necessarily, in the eyes of Bill, be better fitted as the young developmental quarterback over Jarrett Stidham, who he currently has. So I think we'll need to see. Now, later on, could he be enticed by an Anthony Gordon or, you know, a Jalen Hurts down out in the road? I mean, the James Morgan of Florida International late? Possibly. But I think that he thinks his future guy is Stidham. We won't know that until he's able to play more. But I still think there's a veteran at some point that's going to come free at the right price, meaning salary and trade value. So, for example, an Andy Dalton type of guy that right now the Bengals, rightly so, are going to hold out for a higher pick. But at some point, they go draft Joe Burrow. they're going to want to move him, and maybe the Patriots can get him at a cheaper price. So, stay tuned on what Bill's plans are. He's always tough to read, even when I've been in the draft room with him. Sometimes that head is spinning at a different level than a lot of us can correlate to.
What do you think of Stidham and his potential at the NFL level?
I think he's got a lot of ability. I think he's got a lot of arm talent. I don't think he was that offense at Auburn, from a passing game standpoint, is just awful in terms of, having to translate over to the pro game. So there's a huge growth curve there, but he's got arm. And here's the thing. He's a gym rat, loves the game, works hard, puts the extra time in. So he's got the tangibles, and I think he's got a lot of the intangibles. We'll see how this plays out. But I think ideally I know Hoyer is an experienced guy, I think you got, a guy that can be a really good fit as a backup. But the longer you have to play Hoyer, the more vulnerable and the more he's exposed. So I don't know that I'm ready to say he's going to go into the season with those two and just somebody else. There may be somebody else in the mix that's just not right now available for what he considers the right price.
The website is LandryFootball.com, and you can also follow Chris on Twitter, @LandryFootball. Chris, thanks. Thanks for your insights on the show this morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. You guys be safe. God bless. Such a beautiful area there. And hang in there. And, yeah, we'll have a draft to get everybody excited and get their minds off of everything around. So good to be with you guys. Take care and keep in touch.
You too. Thank you. Stay safe. 4 weeks from tonight, if it's on schedule. 4 weeks from tonight is round one of the 2020 NFL Draft at a studio nearby the league and various team headquarters, since there'll be no fans and no gathering in one side of all the teams for the draft this year. We thank Chris Landry for joining us on the Western Hotline, and we can talk NFL Draft with you. Even though there's no first-round pick, we can talk NFL Draft with you. All right, what's up? What do you want to get to?
There was one funny... I mentioned that Andrew Peters took over the Sabres social media account yesterday and was answering questions about the 06-07 team and the 05-06 team.
Favorite meals?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I didn't favorite all of them. But one of them was he posted a poll. If you could have kept one, who would it have been?
I voted in the poll. Yeah.
Breer or Drury.
Yeah.
And Breer won.
Yeah.
And Chris Ostrander pointed this out at the time. He pointed out that at the time, Drury led.
Mm-hmm.
Drury would have
Really? Okay.
The guy who won. Oh, yeah. Drury would have won that poll on the day that they both left.
Yeah.
The organization was going to try and keep Drury.
Right.
He was the winner, the captain, the leader,
sure.
Right? Danny was a little flashier, whatever. That hindsight, it's clearly Breer. But at the time, mm-hmm. Drury would have been the one that was in front.
Right. Wasn't that the guy they thought they had to deal with him anyway, too, right?
Yes, yes. They thought they were going to be able to keep Drury, and they made Breer, just some offer.
Yeah.
And, we talked about this a couple weeks back when Tom Golisano came into town and the Sabres, honored him for 2000s night. And one of the things that I felt like was kind of missing, you're not going to exactly bring it up while he's there, is that, of all the things that have happened to this organization that have led them to where they are, letting that team fall apart is high on the list.
Yeah.
Letting those guys both leave, not signing Drury earlier, not giving Breer a real fair market offer. Like, it all happened because they wouldn't pay at the time.
Well,
and Brian Campbell, right? Why did Brian Campbell leave?
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to pay him. So the Sabres lived in a world where they just were not going to pay their players. They had the best team. That 06-07 team was incredible, and they let it all get away because they wouldn't pay.
And I think clearly that was the big reason. But I also wonder if there was an element of, they trusted that the guys who were in secondary roles are going to be able to step up, if you will, and maybe, like, we had a lot of discussion about, Derek Roy comes to mind in this discussion, but a lot of discussions about now it's Roy and Vanek in Pominville. It's their team. I mean, Miller, it was Miller. Miller was the number one goalie no matter what. But when Drury and Breer left and they matched the offer sheet with Vanek, the guys who were kind of not asked to handle the big spotlight stuff like Breer and Drury, we're now pushed into that. Like, it's your team, fellas. You go. And, you know, they just, you know, for the most part, we're not up to that. Yes, there was an outflow. Is that a word? And a talent level went down when you lost key players. But I also think they put a lot of trust in those other guys and said, all right, don't worry about it. We'll be okay. These guys are cheaper. And they'll be able to handle all this. And they just weren't able to do that. They weren't starring role guys.
Well, they weren't good enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they were good supporting actors. They were not, you know, so to speak, lead actors in the situation.
And it's funny how, you know, that team was kind of sold. They had co-captains, but, you know, Drury was the silent kind of guy that was always viewed as the one who burned to win. And, you know, you ask anybody else around that team, like, well, Breer might have been a different kind of leader. Like, he burned to win, too.
Yeah.
And then he went to Philadelphia and was incredible for them. After... Like we went through this last year when we were talking about the Sabres signing Skinner. All of Breer's success in Philadelphia was on a deal he signed after Jeff Skinner signed his deal with the Sabres last year. So, like, if you think Jeff Skinner is too old and can't do it anymore, like, Danny Breer, all of that Philadelphia success came at a later age than when Jeff Skinner just signed. So, you know, Skinner had a bad year this year, and when things get back, I will be expecting Skinner to be bouncing back and, you know, find him a center. Not that this had to spin off into a Skinner conversation, but, you know, Breer was great.
Yes, he was.
And looking back, if they had just kept Breer, and, you know, they lose them both. If they keep one, maybe they're okay. And it all just fell apart.
Well,
so.
he was talented. B, in whatever order you want to do this, he was fun to watch. C, for what they were doing coming out of the lockout, you didn't have to be 6'2", 220, and skate well. He was fantastic for, hey, let's open up the game. And he got clutch goals. I mean, I know the double overtime goal against Philly comes into my head immediately. But, you know, a talented offensive player who handled the pressure situations, who would, you know, you brought up his playoff numbers here, and I think in Philly too. You know, this guy could raise his game up to another level when the pressure increased. And getting back to the original point about the Vaneks, the Roys, and those guys, you know, they weren't good enough for those leading roles, and that was one of the things they couldn't do either. Okay, playoffs, well, I mean, Vanek got his leg busted one time, but in the playoffs, they weren't able to do that stuff. But it's funny, you bring up, yeah, Breer's never, you don't think about Breer for leadership. It was Drury. You might even bring up Mike Greer after that, you know, or some other guys on that team in terms of leaders. But Breer, go ahead, yeah.
No, I just want to jump in there. That's because sometimes we don't, I mean, you know, it depends on the team, it depends on the player, but sometimes the guy that's just crazy skilled,
right,
well, he can't be a leader because
he's too skilled, but that's Breer, right.
Right, and sometimes you'll hear that, like, oh, this guy was handed everything all the way up through his career, and, like, no, he wasn't.
Not him. Yeah. You
know, nobody was. Connor McDavid wasn't handed anything on the way up through his career. He was the best, and, you know, sometimes you hear conversations about, like, oh, well, Jack Eichel never really had to work too hard. Like, wait, are you crazy? Of course he did.
Well, they work hard to become that high a pick.
Of course you do.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we glorify this guy worked hard and this guy was more of the skill guy, you know, the glue guy. You never talk about Breer or a player of that caliber being the glue guy. And how come that guy can't ever be the glue guy?
It's interesting with Eichel. Did you see, I don't know if you had a chance to see Elliot Friedman's 33 thoughts this week? He talked to a number of different players, and one of them was Jack Eichel. To your point about, you know, they're not handed anything. Yes, the McDavids and the Eichels of the world, they have to, you know, develop as hockey players to put themselves in position to be selected at the top of the draft. And then when you get to the league, you've still got to get better. You've got to work on your game. And it was interesting. The story about Eichel in Friedman's column was about, Eichel talked about how his dad can be very, in a good way, critical, can really drive him. You know, he doesn't just, you know, he's not there to slap him on the back and say, yeah, everything is great. He's telling him when he's not that good and he needs to get better and all of that stuff. And Eichel talks about work ethic and the offseason and the training programs. And he actually said something to the effect of, you know, he'd asked his dad this season, even though it was going badly from a team perspective, hey, you know, what do you think? And his dad talked about how proud he was of him. This is his best season as a pro. Why? Well, you became more of a two-way player. You became a full player. You're not just a guy scoring in the offensive zone. You're better as a player in the defensive zone. Your overall game has improved. And that comes from what? It's not, hey, Eichel knows he's the franchise player, got the big contract, I'm set. He's working on his game. How do I become better? How do I become a better player overall? What can I do to help this team in more ways than just I'm setting up a guy in the offensive zone or I'm one-timing a shot in on the power play? And that goes to your – these guys also have that fire. Briere was really talented, but he still had that competitive fire to get better and to do everything he could to drive the Sabres, to drive the Flyers, whatever the case may be. 803-0550 to join us. Speaking of hockey – let's do a little Taco Bell trivia here. We have a $25 gift card to give away if you can correctly answer and be the correct caller to answer a hockey question. Here we go. June 2017, the Sabres acquired Marco Scandella from the Wild in exchange for a pair of forwards, Tyler Ennis, Marcus Foligno, and a draft pick. Who else came to Buffalo with Scandella from Minnesota? Give it a shot. 644-9878. We will open up the contest lines. We'll start with caller number 5. The forward that came to the Sabres from the Wild with Marco Scandella. 644-9878. Brayton, we'll start with caller number 5. We'll take the first correct caller. If that's you, you win a $25 gift card from Taco Bell. Taco Bell trivia brought to you by Taco Bell. Sometime, you gotta live mas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Second down. He keeps it. He throws it. And he's got a touchdown. Tyree Jackson hits Kari Lee for 6.
Former Bill to former Bill in the XFL. On the Western Hotline right now, former Bull, former Bill. From the XFL, of course, as well, Tyree Jackson joining us here for a little bit. Tyree, it's Howard and Jerry. Good morning. Thanks for coming on the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. Yeah, you know what? I was trying to catch up with some of the guys that were, you know, that were here and that played in the XFL because I, like a lot of people, Tyree, were curious to see how the league would look and how it would do. Overall, I know it ended prematurely because of the virus, but overall, how would you describe your XFL experience? Let's start there.
I thought it was a good experience. I thought it was, you know, well organized, and they did a good job taking care of us. And then, you know, playing for Pep Hamilton on my team, we you know, I got to learn a lot of stuff and, you know, just getting reps. So I thought it was a good experience.
Was it fairly organized? I mean, you were there on the inside, right? It didn't look bad as an outsider, but how was it done in terms of internal operations, your team, your league, the whole thing?
I thought it was done really well, and I thought they did a really good job. There was really no difference. They took care of us, and, you know, everything was well structured, and, you know, it was just the same grind of football, and it was awesome. You know, the guys loved it, and, you know, I think the guys really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would think, you know, I guess, Tyree, from maybe the most important thing was it gave guys another chance to play football, to hopefully get back in the NFL or at the very least continue a professional football career.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, that definitely we had a lot of older players on our team that, you know, got to continue to play, guys that were, you know, drafted in the first round, second round, third round, that, you know, were kind of at the end of their careers but got another chance to play football. And then you had young guys that, you know, wanted to get back out and get some more film and play. So I think it was good for everyone.
What you finally get in, was that the game you threw the touchdown pass? You came in off the bench up for Cardell. Was that the last game that was played before the suspension to play?
Yeah, it was.
So, I mean, the good news, bad news. The bad news is you didn't have another game to follow it up. But how much did it mean to you to be able to get in, throw that pass, and have that chance before they shut the league down?
I mean, it was cool. It was, you know, anytime you get in the game and play, it's a good feeling. And but what was bigger is that we got to win the game. And I think that was what I was more happy about, is to get the win. And, you know, it was tough circumstances seeing, you know, kind of the season end. But if you look around the world, I mean, there's bigger things going on. And sure, I think every sport is canceled right now. And, you know, we got bigger things to focus on than that.
Did you guys get any word from the XFL as far as, you know, hey, for sure, guys, there's going to be a year or two or anything about their future?
Yeah, they plan on having a year or two. But guys are open to, you know, talk to NFL teams, and you're not stuck into a contract or anything like that. But, sure, yeah, they do plan on having another year, and I think that's their goal right now.
What are you hearing, if anything? Where does your football future go? You think you can get back into a camp?
Right now, I just, you know, let my agent handle all those things, and, you know, trust in God, and, you know, I think everything will work itself out. I don't want to say too much, but I just, you know, I think that it'll all work itself out.
Okay. You know, you mentioned Pep Hamilton. One of the things I want to ask you about. Now, that guy had been in the NFL, longtime offensive coach in the National Football League, and you said you'd learn from him. In what ways? What are some of the things you learned in the short time you had a chance to work with him as your coach?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, just the guys that he's been around, and like you said, he's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL for, you know, a good amount of time. So just the knowledge of the game he has, you know, watching film, breaking down film with him, and then just out on the field, just mechanic stuff, and, you know, just going through. We ran more so of a pro-style offense. We didn't run a ton of, you know, RPOs and stuff. We did a lot of under-center stuff. So just getting a ton of reps of that from, you know, December until March was really good for me. Yeah. And, you know, kind of programming my body and getting – I feel very comfortable doing all that stuff now.
What did you think of all the new rules you guys had a chance to experiment with?
I thought they were interesting. I thought that definitely the extra points was the most interesting one. It's kind of a difficult thing for an offense. You know, if you're going for 3 points and you're on the 10-yard line and you have to, you know, throw it into the end zone. But I thought it was cool because, you know, there was games where we were up maybe 9 points and you're like, it's still a one-score game. Like, your whole life, that's a two-score game. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, in the XFL, that's just one score.
Well, you wouldn't have known it because you're busy playing. But as someone watching the game, I bet you got feedback from family and friends about this. The mic'd up stuff was really cool. To be able to listen to the coaches, the quarterbacks, to hear plays relayed and all this different stuff, that inside access I thought was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. A lot of my friends and family were, you know, told me about it. And the crazy part is each week we would have to watch the TV copy because, you know, your plays are out there. So we would have to switch things that we say, and each week just kind of be cautious of that because, you know, all the plays are on TV and a team can watch and kind of have an idea of what you're doing.
Hey, you had to be careful. I guess what you said to your coaches too, you know, like you don't get caught on national TV mouthing off to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, I'm glad it went well for you. Who knows where football will take you, but hopefully things work out for you and you'll get back into a camp. But always nice to have you on the show. Always nice to keep in touch with you, Tyree. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Tyree Jackson, former UB Bull, former Buffalo Bill, and former XFLer, joining us here on the Western Hotline.
Did you see Nate Geary's picture?
No.
Okay, so Nate has tweeted out a picture of himself. He shaved into a mustache, soul patch, long sideburn combination that is glorious.
It looks like
he's a pitcher for the 1987 Kansas City Royals. And it's beautiful. Now, I was thinking about this. I've had a beard for, you know, a long time. And the last year or two, I've let it get bigger. And during the social distancing period and the time when I'm broadcasting from home and you're at the station, I could shave completely clean shaven. And maybe grow it back by the time I come back in.
Hmm.
Or I could do some really weird stuff like Nate's doing the soul patch and the stash. I could do mutton chops. I could do a lot of stuff. Ooh. We're at this point where you're actually not seeing anybody.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are working from home, if you're only seeing your family, you have an opportunity from a personal, not hygiene, but, you know, styling standpoint. You want to dye your hair blue? You can give it a look, you know, give it a rip. You want to shave something into your head or your face? Like, go for it. You got some time here to play with before other people will maybe see you, if, in fact, that is, you know, your set of circumstances.
That's why I'm getting my whole head shaved.
Yeah. You should grow it out. This is the perfect opportunity.
Grow it out. I can't.
Grow as much as you can.
It's not going to grow. Actually, it... Well, what about a grow beard? On top.
What about a playoff beard? How about a social distancing beard for
well,
you?
Well, look, we tried it. When did we try it? What year would it have been? 07, 06? Which year? We did a playoff
beard,
right? Yeah, the
last. Every playoff run. Yeah, okay. Every playoff run.
Yeah, it itches after. Like, I can't go. I will go a week between shave. I shave on weekends, all right? So I'll go a week. I'll be honest with you. By the time I hit that next weekend, I'm really ready to shave. I'm not. Yeah. I cannot. I'll do it if it's for the good of the team. I'm a team player. But, man, it starts itching. But growing out my hair up, that's funny. That's serious. You just grow out, it doesn't grow out anymore. I mean, it just looks stupid when it starts growing out, like scraggly.
There's just so much potential here to do whatever you want.
I'm going Capaccio look. I'm going full bald. My wife hopefully will give me a haircut this weekend since we can't go get it anymore, and I need it. It's driving me crazy. So I'm thinking of going full shave the head.
Yeah, I get my hair cut about every 6 weeks. I get my beard trimmed about every 3.
That's a long time. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I have no hair, and I go every 4.
I don't know what I'm going to do here about the beard. We'll see. I might, over the course of this, I might get a little weird with it. You know, what else is there to do?
No, not much. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could watch your hair grow. I guess that's one of the things I'll just add to my list on the list of things.
I kind of had the same thoughts where it's just like, well, you know, I probably should, like, I just trimmed up my beard, like, almost down to the skin, and it's starting to grow back, and I'm almost thinking at this point, I'm just like, should just I just try something
do a
different?
Goatee.
You should definitely try anything you can. I mean, now is the time.
Howard thinks I should try goatee.
Nobody's judging anybody right now for
goatee.
My wife would judge me hard.
Goatee, Fu Manchu, what am I trying to think? Soul patch on you. I'm trying to envision soul patch. I don't know.
Soul patch, Jerry, doesn't grow in all that great.
No? Okay, so that could be an issue. Like,
no.
You can clearly see Nate's soul patch in his picture.
Right, right. Like, Nate's is thick. Mine would just grow long.
I could probably go, you know, handlebar mustache. I could do anything. I've got a canvas here that I could just work with, whatever we want.
Thank you to a former colleague of mine tweeted in a picture of a guy getting hairspray, like painting on hair. Thank you. And it's bald.
Yeah?
Yeah, just to get a can of what looks like, what is it? It's not... whatever, it's paint or whatever they're spraying.
I also
on.
Want to be in the guidelines CDC's recommendation for acceptable facial hair that they tweeted out a while ago.
There are guidelines for acceptable facial hair right now?
Yeah, they said that, like, big beards are a bad idea.
So Joe Thornton has to shave. Brent Burns.
For the masks. Yeah, you can't have it. You basically have any sort of beard.
Gotcha.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
If you have any beard, it's bad for a mask.
Yeah, they're not saying. I thought all of a sudden the CDC was telling the general populace you can't have facial hair.
No, that's not the case. I just like to go by that recommendation that the CDC posted out there. So I'll have to take a look at that again and maybe decide a facial hair style for that.
Okay. I thought maybe the Yankees had taken over the CDC and had a no facial hair policy now instituted for the rest of us. When we get back, so Jeremy, you're the creative guy. You ready? I want you to really go out of the box on this one. Here's the question. I'll give you the break to think about it. The NHL on NBC yesterday tweeted out this question. What is your dream NHL outdoor game location? Okay. Anything's on the table. Like, my first thought was the National Mall in DC, but then I thought it's not wide enough. It's long, but it's not wide enough, you know, so you can't turn that into a rink. So I want you to think...
The reflecting pool?
The reflecting pool on National Mall, yeah.
That's definitely wide enough.
No, it's long enough. It's not wide enough side to side.
It's definitely wide enough.
No, it can't be.
This is the best conversation we've ever had. It is absolutely...
You think it's wider than... as wide enough for a rink,
yeah.
Really? I didn't think it was that wide across.
The width of an NHL rink?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What is the width of the reflecting pool?
All right, I'll look up the reflecting pool dimensions.
That's my thought. You can come up with one. Location for an outdoor game.
It is 167 feet wide.
It's that wide?
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, really – it just feels narrower than that.
How wide is an NHL rink?
Don't ask me these questions off the top of my head.
What is 85. It? You can put okay, almost that's it. Two of them in there.
I want
you can
the national, put two of them. I want the reflecting pool for an outdoor game. Then you got to freeze okay. it over and everything.
Where's everyone going to sit?
Well, you know, it's a smaller actually, crowd. You have space around the reflecting pool. It's all walking area.
Yeah, surrounded by trees.
Up to the monument, between like the World War II.
And it's pretty flat.
And the Lincoln. Now, you got the Vietnam Wall on one side, though. So you got to be mindful of that, respectful of that. But you could have a small area of SRO, maybe, around the reflecting pool.
You got about 30 feet to stand.
I didn't say it would be a big crowd. I'm just saying right. Your dream location. Mine was the reflecting pool. All right, we'll do this when we get back. Think of something good.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, so what do you got?
Haven't they done it all?
No, I don't mean it doesn't even have to be a stadium. Like, that's why I thought, all right, we need reflecting pool. Come up with something. I actually thought Grand Canyon, but that seems dangerous.
I guess that's right. They could just build a rink.
Yeah,
anywhere.
Build a rink.
I was thinking of actual bodies.
No,
of water.
No. Build a rink wherever you want them to build a rink. Mount Rushmore. Build a rink wherever you want them to build a rink. What would you choose?
I mean,
the Gateway Arch.
No, I don't want any natural place to be
well, you
ruined
need something,
by some.
Okay, right, but you need something like.
Didn't oh, that, the Gateway's I mean, not natural. I'm sorry. I thought you meant like Arches State Park.
Like something different other than, you know, Notre Dame Stadium or whatever, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that there's a stadium that I would really say, okay, that's a great idea. Like it, that,
so we're talking about it as a social distancing Winter Classic where there aren't any seats.
Yeah,
so
I forgot.
So that does open it up. Just build a hockey rink wherever you want.
Wherever you want.
How about
where are all the big trees in San Francisco?
Yeah, the sequoias.
Yeah,
Sequoia National Park, the redwoods.
All right, we got to get out.
Muir Woods.
You can save that for tomorrow. I'll give you the rest.
Alcatraz.
Of the day.
Build it on Alcatraz.
There you go. Take a boat to the game.
But again, nobody's going to the game.
No, not yet.
Distance.
Right.
Stay home.
Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.